See, I think that was a much better choice than we built this city on rock and roll, because we need the money, 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 money.
Yeah,
that's what economic development's all about, right?
Economic development is about being able to have nice things. That's right. So, look, with the help of my trusty friend Claude, it's all become clear. Claude and my friend John in St. Bernard, who just texted me. So the answer is that Grace Slick, she's the through line on all of it, but it was originally Jefferson Airplane in the 60s and 70s out in San Francisco. They right. became Jefferson Starship in the sure. 70s. And then after Paul Kantner left, but Grace Slick stayed on, they dropped Jefferson and it just became Starship. And so
Starship.
That is the
okay.
evolutionary chain, the syllogism of Starship.
And that's not AI slop.
This was like actually AI proving itself useful. There are some use cases, and I find that like radio trivia is one of them.
All right, we have some special guests, and I guess I'll let you introduce them at the risk of ruining their reputations. Take it away.
No. In terms of our first guest, he's quite capable of doing that himself. Todd Murphy, he is Chief Operating Officer at M Wealth Advisors. Raymond James, he's also our policy chair and a great friend of Jefferson and the region. And he's going to be joined by Jasmine Brown DeRussell, who is, of course, the Chief External Affairs Officer at Gano Inc. and leads all of our policy efforts.
Todd's a good friend, known him for many, many years. Todd Murphy, welcome to the show. Jasmine, you as well. Thank you so much, Jasmine Brown. Welcome to the show as well. Let's talk about the legislative session, some of the positive things that came out relative to economic development in our state.
Well, thank you, Noel. Glad to be here. It's always hard to follow Michael Hecht. But I did learn something new today, that slop is a technical term. So it's always a learning experience.
Always an opportunity to be able to learn.
The legislative session was really, I think, you know, a big hit for business. And it really is a testament to Michael and Jasmine and the team there at Gano Inc. and just the wonderful job they do. It's, you know, here we have a regional organization that's working for the entire state. To improve the business climate across the state, and I just don't know of another organization that's as relevant statewide as Gano Inc. is. And we had some big wins, and I guess, you know, I'll start with the State Infrastructure Bank. I think what we did in this session is really reestablish LED. So the Louisiana Economic Development Department, like every department, has sunset laws, and the legislature has to renew those departments. So that happened. So, you know, kind of in one step, we keep the engine going, and then we fine-tuned it a little bit in giving them some flexibility, some business certainty. I think companies and investors want to know that they can continue without interruption. So the flexibility came in giving LED the ability to increase and restructure some fees for LED programs. To authorize some new fees tied to administrative cost, and perhaps waive or reduce some fees for small businesses under the hardship bill. So, really, just great sustainability, I think, for LED, which is in lockstep with Gano Inc. in terms of the initiatives and the priorities that we're trying to establish for the state.
And. I think this high-impact jobs program and some other funds that were allocated into different programs that are come under LED, are going to be big difference makers, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think when you look at the high-impact jobs program, this is a program that is not just about, you know, creating some jobs, but it's got to be tied to wages, and it's got to be new full-time jobs, not seasonal jobs. And so I think what you're going to see there is you know, not just looking at headcounts, but what kind of high-end wage jobs can we create? And tied into that is the of course, the site development fund. So, you know, and that's – And that's where, I mean, you look at the Meta site in North Louisiana. That's how we got that, was through the site development fund. So this adds money to that, so that we can have shovel-ready land ready to go. And uses are Meta sites, of course, but also roads, utilities, rail. It can be used for land acquisition and clearing and the like. So really gives us a competitive advantage when we're looking at southern states and how do we go about bringing in those new companies and the new high-paying jobs.
And underscoring here, Newell, if I may, just to clarify, Sarah Murphy has done a fantastic job in reminding our listeners that these programs were actually created in a prior session. This session was really all about, as the chair said, making sure that we have the funding to be able to further these programs. That site development fund has already reigned to be successful. $150 million were originally seeded into that fund at the inception of this program. And so LED came back alongside of their partners and said, hey, we've already divvied that money up across the state. More than 19 sites have received funding across 16 parishes. Out of those 19 sites, five within the GNO region specifically have already received funding from that. And so we're really, from a legislative session perspective, excited about the legislature, the governor, the agencies being in alignment about funding economic development. So a positive session, certainly, for our priorities there.
Absolutely. And Jasmine, I'll just add to that. I think it's been exciting to see parishes and economic development organizations across the state competing for these dollars, which was what we wanted to see, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Michael, I know you and I have talked about this as well before. The number of projects and the number of parishes involved, I don't know that we've ever had this situation occur simultaneously, or, well, that's not the right way to say it, all at once, and the impact that we've had across the state in so many different parishes.
No, this is, I mean, unprecedented is an overused term, but here it's accurate. It actually is completely accurate as compared to the earlier things I said. The scale of the investment around the state is a magnitude greater than it's ever happened before.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Let's talk about carbon capture. This has kind of taken on a life of... And I haven't been able to really put my finger on the objections and this and that going back and forth, or the science. How did we fare out in this legislative session?
Another positive new out of this session is that alongside of partners, GNO Inc., again, aligned with LMOGA, LCA, LAB, and the legislature, we're able to defeat over 20 anti-CCS measures. To your point, over the past year and a half, we have seen an increased kind of sector, if you will, of opposition to CCS. A lot of it, we believe, is rooted in miseducation and really not having a full understanding of the technology. And at the start of this session, leadership said, hey, we don't want to continue to relitigate this every session. Everyone has the ability, of course, to file their bills that represent their districts and their constituents, but this is not something that we want to continue to relitigate every single session. And the outcome of that standard that was set at the top of this session really held true, which is not always the case, as things often shift within the building of the Capitol. But relative to defeating these anti-CCS measures that would have done a range of things, if we're talking establishing a local election before a CCS project, you know, essentially eliminating expropriation opportunities for Class 6 wells, unlike any other wells, as well as establishing or limiting, if you will, the ability for industry to operate as other energy sectors do. So there's been a fair share of discussion about this, and thankfully at the end of this session, we are able to say that the legislature stood hold once again in making sure that Louisiana remains a state that's open for all of the above from an energy perspective to continue to lead in this space.
You know, when you have to relitigate this every legislative session, it's the epitome, you know, from my perspective of one step forward, two steps back, right? You always feel right. like you're losing ground.
Absolutely. And you know, Newell, that's a great point because as we always reiterate, the damage that this does from a narrative perspective is sometimes unquantifiable, right? And so if we're continuing to tell the world that this is something that we have to continue to relitigate from an economic development perspective, that's not always positive. But we are really grateful to have leaders who understand that and who have acted accordingly.
And as Jasmine said, I was just going to add, Newell, as Jasmine said, on this one you had industry partners all united, chemical, oil and gas, business organizations, you know, really just saying, look, this is the right thing for industry. And so from that perspective, it really was a big win.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the aerospace industry. What went on in this session to help promote and move that forward?
Well, aerospace, as we know, is really a foundational sector for our region and really the state. And that prominence is ever growing. And I think that our state, particularly LED, recognizes the opportunity that we have always had, but also that has continued to evolve. And so as a result, there was a package of about nine bills that were brought forth and championed by LED, as well as regional economic development organizations like GNO Inc. and across the state to further solidify Louisiana as a competitive site for aerospace-related activities. And so some of those bills included the opportunity to expand ITEP to aerospace manufacturing, as well as establishing a sales and tax use rebate for aerospace equipment, as well as adding aerospace facilities to the statutory definition of critical infrastructure. So a good mix of incentives and regulatory protections that will continue to make sure that we are competitive to other states relative to securing future projects.
And I think one of the exciting impetuses of this was the Artemis rocket, you know, and so many of those parts were made out at Michoud. It's like, how do we expand on that? I think we had six or eight parts, including the rocket booster and the main component that I think I would want to have if I were on a rocket would be the abort system. That was all manufactured right here at Michoud. And so, you know, how do we take this and fine tune our policy so that we're attracting more of that business here to our region?
This is a question just out of curiosity, because I'm ignorant of the fact. Who is our primary competitor? I mean, who are the competitors that we're really competing against for this business? What geographic locations?
Yeah, when you look across the coast, I would say Alabama for sure. What they've done at Huntsville is something that continues to grow, and there's a lot of state investment happening when we're thinking about stimulus. Also in Virginia, but I think in our immediate locale, Alabama stands to be one of the greatest competitors.
Okay, just kind of curious.
Well, folks,
go ahead.
Alabama.
Same suspect. Same suspect. Different silo, same suspect. Todd Murphy, Jasmine Brown, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back with Michael's final thoughts. Stay with us.